Today with Joe Nash on Limerick's Live 95 FM.
Now, a County Limerick man who was fascinated as a child about stories relating to the War of Independence has self-published a book called The Poacher's Curse. Brendan Moore was born in Knocklong and in the early 80s became really interested in stories being told by a veteran of the War of Independence that he came into contact with. But it wasn't until later in life he decided to write a story based on local events. And I'm glad to say Brendan joins me in the studio. Morning to you.
Morning, Joe.
Tell me a little about yourself, because obviously coming around to writing a book isn't something that just appears.
Well, I suppose I was born in the village of Knocklong. I'm the youngest of nine children, and we lived in the terrace house there on the Emily Road, and very happy childhood, nothing out of the ordinary. We had a neighbour then who moved into one of the houses, I think in the late 70s, early 80s. He was a man over 80 years of age, and you know, the way neighbours go, I suppose, up and down, we were in and out, and he was a great storyteller, and I spent hours listening to him. I always had a kind of an affinity at listening to old people, and he was such a good storyteller. I remember that he could, you know, he could take a cigarette out and light it and then just take a puff and look up and start, and you were back there. You were back in 1919. He could go through all the details of it. And
we're lucky, aren't we, in Limerick and around the country, that we've had people like that. It is part of our heritage, the great storyteller, the Shanachie.
Absolutely. And I think we all hear the stories about, you know, about Dan Breen and Sean Tracy and Tom Barry and, you know, Liam Lynch. But there was the people at levels below them, the actual, you know, soldiers on the ground, I suppose, the ordinary people who kept those stories to themselves of their own involvement, you know. And I suppose somebody told me one time, the more involved people were, the less they talked about it, you know.
Yes, and that's a very good point, because I can even remember doing something, must be maybe 15 years ago, and we were looking to explore something that had happened during the War of Independence locally. And I remember talking to an old man, and he was almost warning me off. You know what I mean? Don't be talking about those times. I'm going, well, it was 80 years ago.
Yeah, well, I suppose now, and I saw it there when, you know, it's different now, when the reaction to the book is different. I suppose at that time I was like 14 or 15, and I'd run up home, and I'd be telling my mother maybe one of the stories he told me. And you know, my dad worked in Shannon, and he worked in a factory called Lennon. He used to get the bus from Knocklong at 6 o'clock in the morning and be back at 6 o'clock that evening. So he did a long day. So I mean, the first thing he did every evening when he came in was watch the 6 o'clock news. So that was a huge thing in our house always. So I'd be running up the back with one of these stories, and they'd be trying to cool it down, because at that time in the 80s, Ireland was a different place, and we didn't have that discussion about it.
Do you think that was more to do with the Civil War than the War of Independence itself?
I don't know. I think it was to do with the North at that time. I mean, on the news every evening, I mean, there was something always on about Northern Ireland, and I suppose my parents were afraid that I was getting romantic notions about, you know, about nationalism from this. So I think it was more about that.
And was this veteran telling you about raids by the Black and Tans and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, exactly. All about that, about how he became involved, and about his local parish and the people, and, you know, things they had to go through. And I suppose the book, somebody asked me, is it fact or is it fiction? And somebody else said it is faction, which is a kind of a mix of, you know, fact and fiction. Or I think it's kind of fiction inspired by real events.
So this man told those stories to you as a youngster. Obviously they stuck in your mind, but you went off and lived your life, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And I suppose, you know, that man passed on, and then, but those things stay in your mind. And I suppose, I, like everybody, I went on and got married, and, you know, you go through all those things. And then in 2010, I suppose, or 2009, I worked in construction, and that completely dried up. you know, I suppose priorities change and you start to think of things a different way, and when you have more time in your hands.
Now, you said something interesting to Anne-Marie.
Yeah.
You said that you began to untangle yourself emotionally as a result of the crash. What did you mean by that?
Well, I suppose what you have to do is that I was used to getting up, Joe, every morning early and heading into town here and going to work. And, you know, I suppose you never, when there's loads of work, and at that time we all knew what the Celtic Tiger was, that there was plenty. And then all of a sudden there wasn't. I mean, I was self-employed, so it was, you know, the guillotine comes down and you're finished.
Mm.
And I suppose when you've... you know, I have a wife and six children, so all those things bring their own strains. Now, it wouldn't have been, you know, we weren't the only family. There was thousands of families in Limerick and all over the country that went through tough times.
Absolutely.
So, and
still are in a lot of cases.
Absolutely, and we are not out of the woods, and loads of people aren't out. And I think what you have to do then is you have to kind of realise that, you know, the country is different. And that's kind of, it's hard to accept when you can't go out and earn the money that you used to earn and, you know, make everything all right. So I suppose I went through that little process of kind of trying to untangle myself. And
it's hard.
Oh, very hard, yeah. But I mean, the book was very helpful with that. But I mean, when I think back now in 2010 when I started, I mean, I had no idea how to write a book. I mean, I wanted to write a book, but I'd actually no idea how to do it.
Right. Stay with me because I want to talk to you about that.
All right.
Straight after these. We're chatting with Brendan Moore about his book, The Poacher's Curse. And Brendan, Mary O'Malley rang to wish you all the best, but says you'll know her as Mary Hannon.
Oh, says, yes, I do. Yeah.
And says, well done to you.
Oh, thanks, Mary.
So when you came to the conclusion, I'd like to write a book.
Yes.
Who did you talk to about that?
The first thing I did was I consulted Google, I think like everybody does, how to write a novel. And I'd advise nobody to do that. Don't do that. Because like there's just reams and pages of doing this and doing that. So I didn't do it. I suppose I sat down and I didn't do any creative writing courses or anything like that. And after a while, I just decided that I had a story that I wanted to tell, so it would have to have a start, a middle and an end. So I just started to get it out there, just started to write it. And I suppose when I got out so far, I began to realise what a task it was to write a book and maybe, you know, how I needed to format it or set it out or, you know, to put the detail on it. So that was probably the biggest learning curve. And you get better at it as you go.
And it was a mix of the stories that you were told by this veteran of the War of Independence.
Yes,
and
yeah.
Obviously your own imagination and your own experiences.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, I suppose people that you have met through your life and that have made an influence on you and different characters that you have met, and you take traits from all of those and you start to build it into these imaginary figures in your book, you know.
And anyone said to you, is that me? Is that me?
Yeah, and I suppose they might be thinking that now, but nobody has said it yet, but I'm waiting for one or two to say it, yeah.
Is it really difficult when you've done the book or done the first draft of it to decide, who am I going to give this to critique?
Yeah, it's a strange feeling, actually. You're very anxious to get to the end, you know. I mean, I went back to Google once more to consult it, and I said, like, how long is a novel, you know, and how many words should it be? And you get all these things, and you have these kind of preconceived notions that you have to be James Joyce to write a book, or you should have gone to Trinity, or, I mean, I would have none of those things.
That's true, but also James Joyce wasn't James Joyce before he was James Joyce either.
Yeah, well, that's true. And you see, the thing is that I suppose that if you can tell a story, and I would consider myself a storyteller more than a writer, it's just that I happen to put it down on paper, if you know what I mean. So when I got to the end, I was very lucky that I contacted this lady called Afric McGlinchey, who's a freelance editor down in West Cork. And I sent her the manuscript, and it's a strange trend. When you have to actually give it away, it is then the panic starts. And you say, you know, when it's gone in the post, you'd be saying, yeah, you know, should I have started this at all now? What am I letting myself in for? But she was excellent. And she knew, I suppose, a first-time writer, you know, and she gave me a great editorial report, rang me up a few times, you know, we discussed elements of the book. I took great heart from her report because, you know, I was nearly afraid to open it because, you know, you'd be saying, has she, you know, lacerated the plot or, you know, is it naive or is it silly? But she didn't do any of that. You know, she kind of said, look, the do's and the don'ts, you need to do more of this and less of that and, you know, over-explaining or under-explaining or, you know, that kind of stuff. And parts of it, she said, I remember she said, well, like a set of minutes, you know, she was, were you there? Like, what age are you? Were you back in 1919? So stuff like that. So that was very helpful. Yeah. And then, what you know, when I had the book written, I thought, you know, after the edit, but the edit, like, of a book is really where the work starts. And to go back through Afric's report and go down through it and then maybe again and you keep at it. And in fairness to her, when I had it finished, I said, you know, would I send it back to her? And she said, no, you should give it to a fresh set of eyes.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I mean, did you give it to family and friends?
No, I gave it to another freelance editor.
Well, were you excluding the family and friends or what?
You know, they were last to see it, everybody. But after that, they didn't actually see it, until I sent it to them in the post, the finished book. And I suppose...
God,
the next
you're a brave man.
Wasn't I? Yeah. I didn't see it.
Wouldn't they all have had opinions for you?
They would, I suppose they would, but I mean, we've a big family, and like, if you took all the opinions, you know, you probably have to write three books.
You're good. Just on the opinions alone.
Yeah, we'll save that for the next one.
And did you have a bit of back and forth with publishers?
Well, you read all this stuff, you know, and when you hear about all these great writers out there who got all these rejections, I said, you know, after the edit and after, you know, 5 years, I sent it to three. The first one, you know, kind of came back and, you know, it is a great excuse that we don't do fiction. Fair enough. The second one, we don't do historical fiction. So then you're down to one. Now, they were, you know, I was jumping around the kitchen when they came back to me because they said, yeah, we're very interested in your book and we like it. And I thought, here we go. It's over. They'll do everything.
Fame.
Yeah, it's over.
Late show appearances. Yeah.
But
turned into a movie.
Exactly. But that's not the way it works, unfortunately. Again, naive. So they said, yeah, you've been through phase one. And then said, oh, yeah. And what's, you know, how many, well, there's a number of phases. Oh, and then it went to phase two, which took about 2 or 3 months. So eventually, I got talking to one of them and they said, yeah, you know, it looks, we want to, you know, we'll be doing a little bit of editing ourselves and then we could see it in the schedule for 2017. So like this was kind of, you know, the middle of this year on May or June. I said, you know, no.
Am I going to wait 2 more years?
Yeah, I'm not going to. I want to keep at this now and get it out there.
Because of course, because it features that time in history and we've so many centenaries coming up, you can see the marketing logic from their point of view. Get past 1916, and then 2017, you know, and you're into the War of Independence.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's it. And they just do a schedule and I suppose they have books in it and it goes along there. They're not a particularly big publishing house.
But you said, I'm not waiting for them. So you self-published.
I did. And it's funny, one of the experiences I had with the book is any time I look for help, there was loads there. And it, the great thing was that, you know, the book was written in my sitting room in Ballylanders. You know, we launched it in the GA Clubhouse in Ballylanders. We got it printed in Limerick out at Fitzsimons in Shanagolden. The graphic design for the front of it was done by Janice Design in Glynn. So, I mean, it was great that everything was done locally. I thought, you know, I had spoken to somebody else who said, you know, the best thing you can do now is you can send that to Spain. And, you know, there's fun. But everything was done locally and loads of help.
And where is it available to be bought?
Well, you can get it in O'Mahony's and in the bookshop out in the Crescent, and it's in the bookstore in Newcastle West, and it's in all the shops in Ballylanders. Of course, they've been very supportive, and it's here and there. We're starting to get out there now. I mean, one of the things I suppose about self-publishing is that distribution is the boot of your car. You know, so you have to drive around and meet people. But everybody has been very supportive, and you know.
Well, it's called The Poacher's Curse. I suspect there'll be great interest in it, including after this interview. And Brendan Moore, a real pleasure to meet you. And fair play to you for getting out and doing it. Doing
Thanks,
something.
Thanks very much indeed.
You know, you deserve huge credit for it. Brendan Bass, as you said, out there in County Limerick. Ballylanders, your current, is it your home?
Yeah.
Right, very good. All right, listen, wish you well with it. And when it's made into a movie, will you come back and talk to us?
I will, of course, Joe. Thanks.
Limerick Today with Joe Nash on Limerick's Live 95 FM.